welcome to this very special first episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping. I'm Leslie Ventura, and I hope you're hungry and curious about the unique and dynamic Las Vegas food and restaurant scene. I'm teaming up with my fellow food writers, Genevieve Durano and Brock Radke, to produce this new monthly podcast, and we're going to dig a little deeper into our local food scene and explore the cuisine, personalities, and style that set this city apart. It doesn't matter if you're a Vegas visitor or a born and raised native. If you flip to the food and drink section immediately every time you pick up a copy of Las Vegas Weekly magazine, you're going to love Second Helping, and we're serving it up just for you. You can listen to Second Helping and our other Las Vegas Weekly podcasts at lasvegasweekly.com, on iTunes, or at the Las Vegas Weekly YouTube channel. We're so excited to bring you this new show, and we want to thank you for listening and being a part of Second Helping.
Thanks, Leslie. So when we decided to start this new food-centric Vegas podcast in the summertime, there was really only one thing that came to my mind that I wanted to focus on. To me, the ultimate summer snack is the classic hot dog. And what better place to have a hot dog than a baseball game? I've been spending a lot of time with this experience eating fly dogs at the Las Vegas ballpark in downtown Summerlin.
Corporation started construction on this brand new Las Vegas ballpark to be the home of our minor league baseball team to move from Cashman Field downtown. Everybody assumed that the food was going to be pretty fancy out here in downtown Summerlin, and there is some fanciness to it, but really it's just upscale baseball game food. There's still peanuts and Cracker Jacks. There's still nachos and burgers. But there's also Mexican barbecue from Barbecue Mexicana, the border grill concept at Mandalay Bay. And there's Froze by Giada De Laurentiis. And there's Build Your Own Mac and Cheese from local favorite Good Witch. There's a lot of great different stuff to eat, but for me, it's still a baseball game, and that means it's hot dog time. So I'm at one of the several fly dog grill kiosks here at the Las Vegas ballpark, and I am faced with a very difficult decision. The Jet Setter is a Snake River Farms Wagyu beef hot dog with cilantro aioli, banh mi pickles, and jalapenos. The Heater is a griddled hot link with Calabrian chili relish, kewpie mayo, and Parmesan Reggiano. The Chicago Smokehouse is a Berkshire pork cheddar brat with neon relish, sport peppers, smoked curry aioli, and a poppy bun. That's the one that I had last time. That's like the closest thing to a Chicago dog. So I guess I'll skip that one. But then the Hercules is a bacon-wrapped Hebrew National footlong with hand-cut beef chili, onion jam, and pickled mustard seed. Can I just get one of each? Hey, which one of these hot dogs is the most popular? This one? It's bacon wrapped and it has chili on it. Does like one person just hang out here and wrap bacon around hot dogs all day? Is that you?
It's not me, no. I don't have the patience.
Can I apply for that job?
That Hercules fly dog is my favorite of the bunch, and it's probably the best chili dog I've ever had in my life. It's a pretty good deal too, at $10 for this loaded footlong. But it's just so savory. The chili is great. I think the onion jam and the tangy pickled mustard seeds really push it over the top for me. Brian Howard is the man behind these amazing hot dogs, the chef and restaurateur behind the popular Sparrow and Wolf in Chinatown, collaborated with the food and beverage team at the ballpark to create these unique, memorable flavors and innovations to traditional ballpark food. I had to go over to Sparrow to talk to him all about this project.
Fly Dog's a brand that I created with Howard Hughes and to do the Summerlin Ballpark and the Las Vegas Ballpark. You know, they reached out to me and you know, kind of talked to me about what was supposed to happen in there, and they're like interested in hot dogs, and I'm like, I love hot dogs, and I grew up in Detroit, and like, it's kind of like a pastime for me. Not anymore as much, but like, I grew up.
Hot dogs
like,
is not as much of a pastime for any of us anymore as we want it to be.
Right? But I grew up, yeah, I mean, hot dogs were like a part of kind of my culture growing up in Detroit, right? So I'm like, yeah, I'm the right guy. And they're like, well, we've been doing tastings for all over the country, and we want to do a tasting tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow? It's 9 o'clock at night. And they're like, okay, well, how's the next thing? And I'm like, it's pressing to find, like, the product that I would want to use to impress you and, like, do it right. But, you know, the next day I was, like, making sausages and, like, you know, coming up really cool stuff. You know, we created a menu that was, like, still nostalgic enough that there was a relationship between the guest and what they're used to getting. You know, i.e. take on a Chicago dog, or take on a Detroit Coney. Then there's some kind of new stuff, too, you know, like, you know, keep it relatively simple, use great ingredients, and, you know, it's hot dogs and baseball, man.
So. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I think everybody's very impressed with that facility.
Oh, it's awesome.
But I think the food is, like, a big part of that, whether or not they, whether or not the guest thinks of it or not, you know. You go in there, and you've got these great hot dogs, you've got the Border Grill barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, that burn-in burrito.
You've got, like, other local
out of control
people doing stuff there.
It's Sarah Camarota, and she took a big part in, like, really making that culinary kind of thing happen. And they brought in good, you know, pro sports catering, and, like, these guys are pros, man. It was, like, it was really cool to work with. Like, I think, you know, my deal is a little bit different because I'm more a licensing deal, you know, and, like, it's the first time I've done that where I've been a little bit disconnected from my food in the sense that somebody else manages it and staffs it.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, they, like, they crush it. Like, they nailed it, you know. They hit the ball out of the park, as they would say. Like, you know, I was, like, freaking out day one, you know, working with them. And, like, they got it. They, like, really did a great job with it. They're continuing to do a great job, you know. We secret shop it all the time. And, like, I am excited to be a part of it.
I think I'm going to get in trouble because the ballpark, I can walk to the ballpark, so I think I'm going to go over my hot dog limit this year for sure.
Right. Go have the heater. Yeah. That's my personal favorite.
Yeah.
It's like Calabrian chilies and a hot link, grana padano over it. It's a fun one. Yeah. We're going to do a, I think the guest chef takeover for Sparrow and Wolf will be like middle of August as well up there. We'll be doing some cool stuff. You know. Maybe, like, roast a whole hog or something fun. Do something that you don't normally see in the ballpark.
So that's another great thing about eating at the Las Vegas ballpark. In addition to all these great concessions, and they have other ones, familiar local operators like Capriati's, Me Gusta Tacos, and Forte Pizza. But they also do these chef takeovers on the club level. It's a special ticket, but it's an all-inclusive food and drink menu from a different chef during each game. Gina Marinelli from La Strega just did one recently, and in addition to Brian's takeover in August, there are upcoming events with Giada De Laurentiis and Roy Choi, so that's pretty cool.
All of that sounds amazing, but I can't help but wonder, can I still get a regular old hot dog if I go to the ballpark?
Yes, of course, and I kind of like doing that. As great as the fly dogs are, they are fancy, and sometimes you just want a basic hot dog and you want to put, not ketchup, who would do that? That's crazy.
I do ketchup. Mustard, but not if I'm in Chicago.
Relish. kind of the de facto hot dog at the concession stand is a Hebrew National, and it's $6. Brian's fly dogs are $10 each. And Forte Pizza has Hoffman quarter pound beef hot dogs for $7, and they also do an Italian sausage and pepper for $10. And they're all really good. So hot dogs are my favorite summer food, but you can't live on hot dogs alone. There are plenty of great local restaurants that focus on using seasonal ingredients all year round, and they're creating new menus and dishes just for summer.
One of those places is local French restaurant Partage. I wanted to find out what kinds of fresh produce are available to us in the summer, so I turned to Partage and Eat owner Chef Yuri Zarzewski, who updates Partage's tasting menu every single day. Chef was on vacation in Italy, so we phoned him up to talk about what kinds of seasonal ingredients you might get to enjoy at his gourmet restaurant.
So right now in Las Vegas, we can use seasonal produce. It's pretty much like the same you can find in California. We have some, zucchini, squash. Now we are end of asparagus, but we use a lot of asparagus from the small farmer. It's called Biocris Farms. We have some baby carrots, onions, fresh garlic, chicken eggs, and we try our best to use all the, you know, fruits available, like apricots, sometimes strawberry. We have some peach, like herbs, fresh herbs, rosemary, thyme. You know, we try our best to use the most as we can, the small farm around us. But, you know, in the middle of the desert, it's not like California or Florida. It's pretty dry and it needs a lot of water.
After chatting with Chef Yuri, I knew I had to go in to check out Partage's summer menu for myself. Since Chef is still in Europe, executive sous chef Sabine took over the tasting menu, which included items like chilled turnip ravioli with Louisiana crawfish in a grapefruit and sake broth. In this next clip, our server Justin explains these fresh dishes.
So we have here for you little ravioli. Inside the ravioli, Louisiana crawfish, Maine lobster, chive, grapefruit. Ravioli itself is actually thinly shaped turnip. You have some fresh grapefruit and some of that seafood in the plate. And this is a grapefruit and sake broth. So this dish, you're going to have some bright flavors, light vegetable from the sweet pea. The grapefruit helps to make it really crisp and refreshing. With the parsley, mint, and chive, those are really classic summer herbs there. And then instead of a heavier fall style orzo ice risotto, we have that farro grain, which always grows in summer. So right here, the sweet corn is coming to us from Gilcrease Orchard, so right here in Las Vegas, and then the hay as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I think it's worth noting just how much flavor Partage is able to pack into such quaint and beautiful presentations. I tried a sous vide scotch egg that was stuffed with corn puree from Vegas's own Gilcrease Orchards. And it was honestly the sweetest tasting corn I've ever had. It really spoke to the quality of the ingredients. And while there is a menu with more permanent dishes, the tasting menu is definitely the way to go if you want to try inventive cuisine using farm fresh produce.
If you have a good appetite, I recommend the 7-course or the 9 courses. The 9 courses is about 3.5 hours, so you need time to enjoy it. You take the 7 courses, you have appetizer. So we try every time to put like a chilled soup for the summertime and a warm soup for the wintertime. After that, we switch with a fresh ingredient from the farmer for the second appetizer. Like I said, I can use fresh asparagus, and sometimes we put together strawberries and asparagus in the same plate. That sounds crazy, but works pretty much pretty good, you know. It can be a sweet pea with apricot. If you play with the taste and you have a good balance, it's really good, I mean. And the third appetizer, something clean, not too heavy, to go on the next round is the fish. I like to use white fish, like a turbo, like a sole, like a Saint-Pierre, comes from Mediterranean. And you have as well a meat course. For the summer, I suggest like a lamb chop, cook with some fresh herbs, spices, like a cumin or, you know, like fennel seeds. And a nice reduction of the lamb juice pair with a sunny vegetable can be fresh tomato, zucchinis, onions, like fresh ratatouille, a French recipe. And you have a cheese plate. We use 90% of French cheese for the plate. We do three different flavor of cheese. Can be like a goat cheese, cow cheese, and you have a dessert after that. So 7 courses is huge, but we put small portions and you can easily afford 7 courses.
Just listening to Chef Yuri describe that very intricate menu made me super hungry, and now I also feel bad for being so hot dog oriented. Summertime is definitely a time to eat lighter in Las Vegas, and Partage is a great place to do that. In recent years, it's become pretty easy to find some great vegetarian and vegan options and restaurants around the Vegas Valley. And that aspect of our culinary scene is really thriving right now. So much so that the James Beard House in New York City is hosting a special Vegas Vegans dinner this month. And Diana Edelman gets the credit for putting it together. Diana's a writer, entrepreneur, and adventurer, and she's the founder of Vegans Baby, which is pretty much the authority on all things vegan. Genevieve recently spoke with Diana about the Beard Dinner and this cool culinary culture here in Las Vegas.
So tell us about this dinner coming up at the Beard House in New York City and how this collaboration came about.
So the collaboration came about this January. I run a vegan dining month here in Las Vegas, Veganuary, and the James Beard Foundation heard about it. And so their director of house programming, Isabella, emailed me and just said, I see what you're doing in Las Vegas. We have a monthly vegan dinner, and I want to invite you to come and curate a Vegas dinner. I want you to bring chefs in Las Vegas that are doing it. Excellent vegan cuisine and bring them. And so this, as far as I know, is the first dinner where it's not a restaurant being represented or a chef. It's a collaboration of amazing chefs in Las Vegas coming together. And so it's July 10th at the James Beard House in New York.
Well, that's extremely exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it.
There are so many talented chefs here. How did you curate the chefs participating in the dinner?
It's really difficult because there are so many talented chefs here. So I, for the past 3 years running Vegans Baby, I have eaten out, I've probably averaged a meal a day every single day for 3 years. And so I basically just sat for a while and just thought about all of the chefs that I know are making really innovative plant-based dishes, high-end plant-based dishes that would be in the caliber of what the James Beard Foundation is looking for a dinner. So I had about a list of 10 and just narrowed it down until we had the five I'm bringing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you work with them in coming up with a menu?
No, actually, I let them do it. I am not a chef. I just like food. So I let them create the dishes they wanted, and we all got together and talked about it first, and then each one picked a course and looked at the menu, and I passed it on to the James Beard House, and they loved it. So yeah, I just let them run with it.
Do you know how many people usually attend these dinners?
There's an average of about, it can hold 80. I think they average about 60.
Wow, that's great.
It's a big dinner. it's definitely for me, because I host events here. This is definitely the highest caliber dinner I've ever been a part of, right. And it's such an honor.
Right. So in 3 years running Vegans Baby, mm-hmm. you've definitely seen all the changes in the scene as far as, you know, plant-based dining. What would you say, where are we at right now as far as that goes?
Well, in terms of the vegan options here, I think maybe 6 months ago, a study came out saying the top 10 American cities for vegetarian and vegan dining, and Vegas was in the top 10. If you look at New York or you look at Los Angeles, they're a bit more innovative than us still. A lot of the vegan food we have now at vegan restaurants is pretty focused on comfort food and not necessarily really innovative plant-based dishes, but I think that's starting to change. But it's definitely grown. There's definitely been a lot more creativity. Since I started, there were, I think, 4 vegan restaurants, and now we have more than 20. So it's been a whopping growth in the 3 years, and really that growth has taken place mostly the past 2 years, mm-hmm. or even just the past year, honestly. It started in March 2018 with the Modern Vegan opening, and then it was just tons of vegan restaurants opening and so many more options at non-vegan restaurants with coming out with vegan menus. The Strip has been really moving forward a lot the past year as well. A lot of restaurants are now offering vegan menus or a lot more vegan options. And then there's also the trend now of vegan tasting menus, which I absolutely love because then you get a little bit of everything.
So what restaurants are doing tasting
menus? So on the Strip, you have Nobu, which does a beautiful vegan omakase, Sushi Roku with a vegan omakase, China Poblano has a tasting menu, and I'm probably blanking on a few others. Off Strip, you have EDO, which it has a magnificent tasting menu, as well as Sparrow and Wolf with a tasting menu. And those two are actually two of the chefs coming with me to mm-hmm. the James Beard dinner.
Oh, so name the chefs that are going.
It is Chef Brian from Sparrow and Wolf, mm-hmm. Chef Oscar from EDO, Chef Andrew from Catch, and then Chefs Yuri and Vincent from Eat and Partage.
So what are things that you're doing locally?
Locally, I run vegan food tours. Mm-hmm. We are working on a James Beard dinner here. I do local events. I have a vegan food guide that you can download or purchase on Amazon, and it's basically the top 40 dining categories and the best food in those categories. So like best breakfast, best tacos, best pizza. And then I work with restaurants and help them offer vegan options. So like I'll sit and consult with restaurants and kind of work with them to identify like what dishes on their menu could be made vegan and help them create more vegan options. Because truly, I tell restaurant owners all the time, if you build it, they will come. And the vegan community here is incredibly supportive. So for a restaurant to not have vegan options right now is it shocks me, because there's so many people that will come support them if they had those options.
Right, right. What's the last best thing that you ate recently?
Ooh, okay.
That was my last question. This is my last question.
I've been doing a 42-hour fast, so I'm so hungry. The last best thing I ate. I'm just going to do the last one that stands out, and it's a dish from Pots. And I don't know if you're familiar with Pots.
Yes, you took me there.
Okay, so Pots,
I love that place.
Vegan Egyptian street food, and it's sensational. And there's a dish, and it starts with an F. I want to say it's like... it starts with an F. I can't remember.
Is it the one with the tomato?
No, it's beans. It's like a really rich bean dip soup thing. And comes with fresh pita, and it's so good. Like, I described it as like eating a warm hug. Like, that's what it tastes like. It's delicious. But Pots, I mean, you can't go wrong with anything at Pots.
So I have been telling people about Pots since we went.
Uh-huh.
Because I love that place.
Right?
It's so good.
It's so good.
Well, I'm going back for that dish then.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'll go with you. Okay. Because it's... I honestly crave Pots every day of my life. And I'm very fortunate that it's not near my house because I would go every single day.
I have been meaning to try that Pots Egyptian restaurant Genevieve and Diana were talking about for a really long time. It's on Rainbow and Oki over on the west side of town. You may have noticed that there's some crossover with our featured chefs on this first episode of Second Helping. Chef Brian, who created those fly dogs at the Las Vegas ballpark, he's participating in this month's Vegas Vegans Dinner at the James Beard House in New York City, as is Chef Yuri from Partage, who spoke to you from Italy. Some real quick extra special thanks to those guys and to Diana for taking time and talking to us for this episode. You can discover all their restaurants and projects at sparrowandwolflv.com, eatfood.com, and that's eat with two T's, partage.vegas, and vegansbaby.com.
And we couldn't embark on this new food adventure without getting a contribution from Jim Begley. He's one of our favorite local food writers, and he's been contributing to Las Vegas Weekly for almost a decade now. Jim is known for finding delicious little holes in the wall, those off-the-beaten-path haunts with fun ambiance and amazing food. And Vegas has a lot of them. For this first edition of Second Helping, Jim took Brock to lunch at one of his all-time favorites.
So I have just pulled up to Prince Cafe and Restaurant. It is on West Flamingo Road, really close to the corner of Rainbow Boulevard. You know where that Fat Burger is? It's right next to that. What Jim Begley would describe as a very nondescript location. Prince is a signature Jim Begley discovery, actually. He's the only person who's ever told me about this. I know he's recommended it to a lot of people, but he's the only one I've ever heard of who is a regular at Prince. And I guarantee you, I'm walking in right now, I guarantee you he's going to be upset at the fact that this is my first time eating at Prince.
I can't believe you haven't been here. You know how much I'm talking about this damn place.
Exactly. Exactly.
What I really love about this place is it reminds me of the same kind of like ethnic enclaves that we had back in Chicago, right? Like
that's it.
You have these corner bars and restaurants that are Greek or Polish. Right. No, it's not Chicago, right? And I think that's, you know, it's just not something you see as much here in Vegas as you do older generation after generation of immigrants coming.
You know what's here, like, what's the thing with the restaurants here? What I feel like, I like going to the restaurants, but they all try to be like those restaurants on the strip. They all try to be fancy, you know, fuzzy.
Oh, well.
You know, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, some people are just like this.
I, you know, give me a good dive with good ethnic liquor and good ethnic food, and I'm a happy man.
We'll start with the beer, and then we're going to start warming up.
You just wait.
Besides that booming voice belonging to Jim Begley, you're also hearing Neb and Adela Kirkelius, and I'm probably messing up their last name, but they're the married couple that owns and runs Prince, which is a Serbian bar and restaurant, a rare occurrence in the Las Vegas Valley. It's been around since at least 2010, and Neb and Adela are the fourth owners of this great little dive, as Jim calls it. It's a simple spot with a few booths and tables in a narrow space that leads to a pretty old-school bar in the back. And it's the kind of place where if you walk in for the first time, the regulars are going to turn around and look at you and wonder what you think you're doing. But it's definitely a friendly place, and Neb and Adela are incredible hosts, ordering beer and snacks as soon as I meet them. The menu at Prince is pretty meat-heavy. Appetizers of chicken wings or cold cuts or flavorful spreads to be smeared across freshly baked bread. Roasted red pepper stuffed with garlic. A lot of different kinds of sausages, kebabs, and Serbian-style schnitzels. It's very hearty stuff. It's not the kind of fancy place Adela was describing. It's unfancy.
Well, Jim, what is it? You said the chivapi is your favorite thing.
Beef links.
What else are your go-tos here?
Oh, man. Did you try stuffed hamburger?
Oh, my God. That thing is crazy. Yes.
You told me about it.
I know you did.
I can't pronounce it, but yes. How do you pronounce it?
Makedonska pjeskavica.
See? Just like that.
Yeah, it's easy, man. It's just a piece of cake.
Is it on here?
It's a Serbian juicy Lucy.
That's right. See, this is why we need you. You translate for the rest of the world.
How do you say it again?
Makedonska pjeskavica.
Makedonska
pjeskavica.
Pjeskavica.
Pjeskavica. Well, we're going to have to go through that.
That's not that hard.
Jim was quite happy to make fun of my Serbian pronunciations, but he was a little bit sad at lunch this day because Prince was all out of Jelen, which is his favorite Serbian beer.
You can imagine this place in the middle of New York City somewhere, right? But the funniest thing is none of the Serbians seem to actually drink any of the Serbian beer. Like, seriously, you walk in and everybody's drinking Coronas. Like, I don't get it. And I'll be sitting at the bar, and I'll be, okay, now Stella. But it's like, wait a second.
But
you know why? Because usually when we have like home gatherings, like families, friends, it's most of the time Serbian rakia, you know, in the Jelen and stuff like that. So when people go out, they actually want something kind of American.
And now the new generations,
like my age and younger, they are more and more American. So it's
not as good.
And yet, I come right, and what I want is I just want anything.
Jim really is the dude that I look to find under the radar restaurants and stuff like that. But before he started writing for Las Vegas Weekly, he read Las Vegas Weekly, and it was actually Max Jacobson, the now retired food writer and was the restaurant critic for many years, that discovered Prince before Jim and wrote about it. Max really made a big impact on Jim and made a big impact on me too in terms of writing about food in Las Vegas.
I spend an inordinate amount of time searching out places. And so mind you, right? So I would have came here, I think I wrote that first piece about y'all, and that would have been probably 2010, maybe 2011. It was a pretty early.
It was pretty early.
Was it 2010?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So mind you, right? Like 9 years ago, Yelp wasn't nearly as big. I actually believe how I found out about y'all was I had this dog-eared copy of the Weekly where Max literally that copy of the weekly sat on my coffee table until like forever. I don't know where it went to, but I, and this is before, long before I was in the writing industry, long before I knew any of these guys, it was just, I loved those places. And I remember tracking down each and every one of those places and going multiple times, right? And most of them are gone. It's funny, you come into these places that don't have a whole lot of press necessarily, right? Like not a lot of people necessarily know about them. And you come in and you just know immediately, like when you order a certain dish, that it's there.
It's very comfortable in prints. Things get comfy very fast. Some food comes out and it becomes clear quickly that this is a drinking place as much as it is an eating place to accompany our initial platter of smoked meats that are made in-house with cheese and pickles. Some shots start coming too. It's called Takovo, and it's a Serbian brandy. Comes in a bunch of different fruit flavors. Neb loves it. Jim doesn't love it. I'm still undecided.
Now we're trying the Takovo. Is it Dunya?
Dunya.
Dunya, which is quince brandy. Apricot. We got the apricot down just fine.
Neb will tell you this is quince. This is the best
of brandy. Yeah, that's his favorite. Yeah.
This is your favorite.
That's up to you to decide.
Yeah. Why is this your favorite?
Because James.
Taste and smoothness.
It's the least of the rock gut flavors.
All right.
Let's do it. I mean, that's the only way.
How do you say? What's the
Nazdravia.
That's Nazdravia.
Nazdravia.
You could tell things are getting a little wild. Just in time to save the day, a huge platter of food comes out. Huge.
So this is the prince. This is the prince platter.
Yeah.
Lots of chavapi.
Yep.
Lots of fries.
Kara Georgieva.
What is that?
Schnitzel. That's the
schnitzel.
That's the pork schnitzel.
Right. It's like the turducken of the Serbian world.
The Serbian sausage.
What's that made
sausage.
Of? Pork.
Yes. That's the schnitzel pork. That's a chicken.
Yeah, and the hamburger. That's a
burger.
That's a homemade hamburger.
And this is like a coleslaw.
That's that's a cabbage salad.
Cabbage salad.
Is Serbian coleslaw different from other? Is it like vinegar dressing?
Yeah. Vinegar, salt.
And this is my thing.
That's for you.
That's the one I was telling you.
This is a different schnitzel, right?
Yes. That's like a fried schnitzel.
Is that, is that pork?
Is it pork? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pork schnitzel, but
and this is for you.
Oh, yes.
You have the honor.
What is this magical dust?
That's the feta.
You do that. Feta for the fries.
There we go.
Yeah, come to that.
All right.
Not eaten in Las Vegas until you have Jim Bagley sprinkling feta on your fries.
So here's the thing. This is like, right? This is Bulgarian feta, so it's like less salty than like Greek feta. So it's not nearly as creamier. It's very good.
See, personally, I like Greek feta better, but this one is okay too.
She likes strong feta. Yeah. I don't. This is a mellow one that I just,
you can smell it. It's very different. Just smell.
Yeah.
Just the fragrance of it. All right, let's do this.
Do it.
There was so much food on that platter, and so much beer and brandy kept coming. It's a bit of a miracle that I made it out of Prince alive and in one piece. But it was all really good, and I had a great time learning about this little slice of culture Neb and Adela have created there. I definitely recommend an afternoon at Prince, even if you don't have Jim as your guide.
And that's a wrap. We want to thank the whole team at Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, especially Spencer Patterson and Liz Brown and the editorial staff, and Katie Horton and the digital staff for their tremendous support in creating and producing Second Helping. We also want to thank the Vegas-based musician Sonia Barcelona for lending her song Violent Water to the show. You can hear more from Sonia at artofsonia.com. And if you like what you heard today, please help us spread the word about Second Helping by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe to Second Helping on iTunes and on Las Vegas Weekly's YouTube channel to hear every monthly episode. It's also easy to follow along with us at lasvegasweekly.com/podcasts. We'll be back in August.